What are we celebrating here today? Well, okay. That was a terrible way to start a sermon. Because I asked, what are we celebrating here today? And some of you say, Reformation. But some of you are like, that's got to be a trick question. Right? Some of you have been around here long enough to know that I would start a sermon like this with a trick question. Of course it is a trick question. We're not here celebrating Reformation today. We're here celebrating God's love for us in Jesus, just like every week. We're here celebrating that God sent Jesus into the world to show us how to love one another. We're here celebrating the fact that Jesus died and rose again to forgive our sins, to show us that God's grace will always have the final word, even over death. God's love for us is stronger than any sin we do or any sin done to us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's why we're here. That's actually why they did this whole Reformation thing in the first place, because church had gotten away from that basic good news, from that basic gospel. And so when we celebrate Reformation, what we're really celebrating is the good news of God's love for us in Jesus. We're not celebrating, I mean, Lord knows we're not celebrating German culture or some nonsense. Don't even get me started on that. Y'all can imagine what I have to say about that silliness. Or any other culture. The gospel is the reason that this whole thing happened. I mean, Martin Luther, back 500 years ago, did not intend to start a new church, certainly. He did not even intend to protest against the Catholic Church. There are some Lutherans that really get angry if you call them Protestants. I won't get into that now, but it's funny. It's true. The purpose was to reclaim the core of Christian faith, the gospel, the good news about God's love for us in Jesus, and the transforming power of that gospel in everyone's lives, and in the church, and in the world. That's why we are here, so that we can be sure, through Jesus, that God's love is for all of us. And it is this love, in Jesus, that sets us free, in the words of John's Gospel that we heard today, from Jesus. God's love sets us free. Last weekend, I heard a bishop in the Lutheran Church, not our bishop as it happens, but a bishop describe our true Reformation heritage this way. He called us the church willing to risk everything for the sake of the gospel. The church willing to risk everything for the sake of the gospel. Some of you can very well imagine that that description is attractive to me, if you know me at all. To be authentically Lutheran, or to be evangelical, as was the original word that they like to use to describe themselves. Evangelical, of course, meaning good news. So the church of the gospel is really what we try to be called. Anyway, to be Lutheran or to be authentically evangelical is to risk everything for the sake of the gospel. It's to risk everyone, everything, so that everyone can hear the gospel. The gospel is not just for people who show up in a room like this one. And it's not just for people who look like us, whatever look like us might mean to you. The gospel is for everyone. The good news of God's love in Jesus is for the whole world. That's the point. It's not just for a select few who have the secret or whatever. It's for everyone. What are we willing to risk so that everyone can experience the good news of God's love for us in Jesus Christ? Well, as most of you know, not all of you, most of you know, in addition to the 500th anniversary of the German Lutheran Reformation this year, 2017, which is this year, is also the 50th year of ministry here at Lutheran Church of the Savior. We celebrated these 50 years as a Pentecost, so our big celebration was on Pentecost Sunday, and we had some other fun events, history events and so forth before that. We celebrated this as a Pentecost because we wanted to know how the Holy Spirit was going to transform this church for the future. Pentecost, remember, when the Holy Spirit came down and created the church, transformed completely the lives of Jesus' disciples, made them apostles, made them sharers of the good news and bearers of the good news. In this congregation, we started preparing for this Pentecost 2 years ago, two Pentecosts before. So I'll ask, how has the Holy Spirit transformed this congregation in the past 2 years? Now, some of you are new, so you don't have to, it's okay, you don't have to answer. But some of you have been around for a little while, and even longer than 2 years, and so you have some ideas how things have changed around here. So what are the new things that have happened in the past 2 years?
Reconciling in Christ.
Reconciling in Christ. I always forget that one, that's a good one. Yes, we became a Reconciling in Christ congregation. That's right. Anybody else? Anything else changed?
We joined Isaac.
I really always forget that one. That's right. That was this summer. That's right. So the local congregation-based community organizing group. What else?
Started a mission church.
Yeah, no biggie. We did it. That's right. And right. So the African Christian Fellowship Church started here earlier this year and already has more people on Sundays than we do. So look around. Well done. Actually, if you could ever make it, like I say, if you ever make it on a Sunday at 3 o'clock, you'll be welcome. Some of it's in English. You'll have a great time. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. Make sure to like take video when they do like the performance thing in the middle. It's good. What else? Anything else in the last 2 years?
We sponsored
a family. That's right. A former refugee family from Congo. Hi, guys. Good to see you.
We burned the mortgage.
That's true. We did burn the mortgage. Anything else?
We sent kids to camp.
That's right. 3 of them and then 13 of them. And next year, Lord knows how many. We're kids, we're going to send a camp. Anybody else? Anything? The last couple of years? What's that?
Our outreach program has extended.
Okay. In what specific ways do you think?
Well, in recognizing some of the other refugees that have come to Kalamazoo and recognizing them.
Yeah.
Taking part in Pride.
Yeah.
Taking part in our neighborhood things.
Right. Right, we did like the meeting your Muslim neighbors thing, and that's coming up again. Yeah, that was a fun one. Thank you for that, for doing that. Let's see, some really nerdy things that we did, that we changed in the last couple of years. We restructured the council, so now instead of having a bunch of committees, we have this tree of life structure, which some, at least the people on council understand by now. The rest of you, don't worry, be patient with us. We'll help you catch up with what's going on with council. So basically, we restructured the council so that it can work more efficiently, so that we can work collaboratively, rather than each group kind of doing its own thing.
We started confirmation again.
That's right. Thank you, Wilma. We started confirmation again. Yeah, it had been like a decade since we had started a confirmation group here, and so we did that. It's very exciting. Some new things. We did the mission grants this year, and so we gave grants to a few new places, some new partnerships that we started this year. We another real nerdy one. We adopted a new purpose and principles, purpose statement and unifying principles for the congregation, which some of you have been hearing about for the last, well, for the course of this month, we've been talking about what those things are and what they mean. We'll get to the fifth unifying principle yet today in this very sermon. Get excited. We created the Young Adult Leadership Initiative, and we had college students working here last year, and we've had a few interested this year. It hasn't worked out yet. We have another one interested. Pray for that. We'll see if it works out. And interestingly, that is probably going to become the basis for all of the campus ministry here at Western, that 3 to 5 churches in the area are going to start doing that, having college students come in and work in the churches. So believe it when you see it, but that's the plan, and I'm working with some other people to make it happen. Found a new nursery person. What was the other one?
I just found it interesting. I've been here 40-some years, but we did a lot of work to prepare for the history.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I learned a lot even then, and I think it helps me understand more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the church that they came together.
Mm-hmm.
Our redeemer.
Right.
Right.
We celebrated the history of this congregation and of our Redeemer Lutheran Church that had closed on Gull Road. And so we were able to celebrate that and learn something about our history and learn kind of a little bit more about who we are and what we've been up to.
We're having the birthday bags for local bishops.
Doing the birthday bags, yeah. We've kept doing that, and that's coming up in a couple of weeks, right? 3 weeks, maybe. I don't know. Somebody will probably tell you about that. So those are some of the things. We're going to stop. That was great. Thank you all for your participation. That was some of the things that we've done that are new in the last couple of years. Some of the things, some of the ways that the
Holy Spirit has transformed this congregation.
I want to talk a little bit about the relationship between Reformation and transformation. What do you think? The relationship between Reformation and transformation. My hypothesis at the moment, we'll see how this plays out. But my idea, I won't make you all discuss this. This is not a class, actually. My idea is that Reformation, I'm thinking of Reformation as the risks we take so that the Holy Spirit can transform us. That's what I'm thinking. Reformation is the stuff that we do. It's our willingness to change. It's our willingness to ask questions about the way we've always done things and ask questions about what God has in store for us next that allows the Holy Spirit to transform us, to change us. To embrace our Reformation heritage is ultimately to trust in God, to trust that God has a new thing in store for us, a new way to share the gospel with our neighbors. Now, the gospel is life-changing. To share the gospel, the good news about God's love for us in Jesus Christ, to share this is to participate in God's life-changing mission. And here we finally get to our fifth unifying principle. It's on the goldenrod bulletin insert. Something about, I didn't write down the exact language of it, but we participate in God's life-changing mission. God's life-changing mission is part of it, right? Can somebody read it for me? I should have written that down.
We commit to
life. God's life-changing. We commit. There you go. Well, that's pretty easy. We commit to God's life-changing mission. Pretty simple. Simpler than I thought it would be. Not to say easier to do, but simpler to write down. Our participation in God's work changes our lives and changes the lives of those around us. If our work as a church fails to change lives, then I think it's fair for us to ask whether we're doing God's work at all or if we're just doing some churchy thing that makes us feel good. If it's not changing lives, is it really God's work? That's an open question and a thing to consider as we move forward and do things in the life of the congregation. That's why we have this unifying principle. Reformation and transformation are visible in changed lives. We know that this ministry is changing lives in Kalamazoo through our Loaves and Fishes partnership, for instance. We know that our ministry is changing lives in Flint and in places where the hurricanes have gone, thanks to some fundraising we've done. We know that our ministry is changing lives back in Malawi, I understand, as well as in India through some ministry partnerships we have there. We know that our ministry is changing the lives of kids in this room through our partnership with CAMP. And by the way, we're hoping to do a joint new idea. I'm going to say it out loud in public because I'm excited about it, and then maybe we can make it happen because it's going to take some work. But we want to do a joint like vacation Bible school with the African Christian Fellowship, hosted here because we're all in the same building. And we're hoping to get the CAMP staff to come and do a day camp for it so we don't have to like plan and lead everything for the kids. We'd have the CAMP people come and do that. It costs a little bit of money to do it, but we think that's a worthwhile investment. And that way we could have maybe separate programming for adults and do some other things. So that's one of the exciting things we're looking at for next year. Another way we can try to change lives of kids that maybe can't make it all the way up to the camp themselves yet. So, the question that I thought of a few minutes ago, but I held on to until now. How is this ministry, how is God's work in which we participate, how is it changing your life? How has it changed your life in the past couple of years? I'm not going to ask for testimonies right now. I'm tempted. But we already had a good interactive, you know, you all participated, and so if you hadn't, I probably would make you talk more now because I'm like a mean teacher or something. I don't know. Sorry. How has our participation in God's work changed your life in the last couple of years, and how will it change your life? It's not just about, we don't come here to help people to change other people's lives while we stay the same because we had it right in the first place. That is absolutely and emphatically not how either Reformation or transformation work. It's not that we have it and we're giving it to other people. It's that God has it, and we're going out to seek what God is doing, to participate in God's work so that we can be transformed into more faithful people, into more faithful followers of Jesus,
so that we can be still more opened to the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's not that we have to change ourselves. That's not how it works. If you try to change yourself, let me see how that works. Try to change your spouse while you're at it. See how that works. Changing people, like on purpose, is not the deal. It would be useless to try, basically. But what we can do is we can allow God to change us through our participation in God's work. We can allow God to change us. And hopefully we can recognize and appreciate some of those changes and build them in as part of our life moving forward. To be clear, again, your salvation does not depend on your taking risks for the sake of the gospel. Your salvation does not depend on anything you do, on any participation or not in the work of this church or any other church. That is not what your salvation is. Your salvation comes from Jesus and from what God did in Jesus, who lived and died and rose again. Most of you have heard that part of the story before, so I will not belabor the point. But once you know what God has done for you in Jesus, you have an opportunity. Not that your salvation depends on it, but that you have an opportunity to take risks for the sake of the gospel. You have an opportunity to trust God in new ways. I hesitate to go here, but I will, because it's that time of the year, and some of you can tune this out, and that'll be okay. Some of you shouldn't, though. One specific opportunity we have today to trust God in new ways, to take risks for the sake of the gospel, is that today is the end of our stewardship season. And so today, it took me a long time to get around to that, I bet some of you think. I know. I'm predictable. I know it. Today, you can turn in an estimate of giving card for next year. And again, apologize to visitors. You don't have to do that. I mean, you can if you want. You've read the letters and you've heard our offering moments in recent weeks. You know some of the ambitious plans we have for the coming year. We're expanding our office administrative support. We're trying to pay the pastor the minimum synod salary guidelines, which went up by like 4% this year, so it's a lot. The joint day camp that I mentioned, all the other partnerships and all the things that we're doing. You may have seen that our dream budget that we came up with is an increase of 17% across the board, which is not realistic. Shh. I know that. I know it's not realistic. But we also know that most of you every year increase your giving, because you trust that God can do more with what you have than you can do on your own. And for that, we thank you and we give thanks to the Spirit that is changing us through the spiritual practice of financial stewardship. We know that investing in this congregation and in our purpose and unifying principles will change lives in this room and in our community and around the world. In Jesus, we have been set free. Free to risk everything for the sake of the gospel. This is our Reformation heritage. Free to reform our church so that the Holy Spirit can transform our world. Free to love and serve God and our neighbor in ways we have not yet imagined. And free to share in God's life-changing love through Jesus Christ. Amen.